This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, let me bring things up to date. If you're a regular visitor to the Paracast forums, you might have seen a post we put up about the impending appearance of Nick Redfern to discuss his new book from Llewellyn about shapeshifters. And that's, you know, pretty good for the Halloween season and everything. And it's about werewolves and all that good stuff. You know, I think of shapeshifters in the TV show True Blood. You saw that, Paul Kimball, right? Remember that show?
I remember the show, but I never actually watched it.
Well, everybody was a shapeshifter. I mean, a lot of the characters. But the way they did it there, by the way, because it was an R-rated TV show on a premium network, the shapeshifter would first pull his clothes off, or her clothes off, and then become the other creature. The wolf or the eagle, whatever they're going to be. Shapeshifting, okay. So we want to talk about that with Nick because he has a good slant on everything and he writes great books. Unfortunately, Nick came down with an infection that made it, you know, a little rough for him to talk, and he's on antibiotics, and he'll be okay next week. You know, it's nothing serious. It's one of those things. So I contacted Paul Kimball because I figured this is the Halloween season. He's got a new TV show he's working on. It's called Haunted. Just appropriate, so we'd bring them on. But, Paul, before we get into the nitty-gritty of ghosts and hauntings and all that stuff, let's toss this out and get rid of a couple of other subjects. So, last week, speaking of that other subject, the 50th anniversary Shag Harbor UFO Festival, you were a speaker there.
Yeah, it was the 50th anniversary of Shag Harbor here in Nova Scotia, up here in Canada, so it's a big kind of festival. There were about 200 people there. It's a very isolated community on the South Shore, probably about 3 hours from Halifax, where I live. But a lot of witnesses, including the original witnesses from the case, Lori Wickens and others. Chris Stiles was the keynote speaker. Graham Sims, my friend who co-wrote the last Shag Harbor book with Chris. Aaron Gullius came up from the United States. I brought Aaron up to talk about the history of UFO crashes. And I sort of spoke about the theoretical framework for UFO studies in the 21st century. And there were other speakers, too. In fact, we actually had some contactees, which was very Aaron's sort of mind was blown. He was furiously scribbling notes because he's fascinated by the contactees. So, but there were local contactees who said that on the night or around the night of 1967, when the Shag Harbor UFO incident happened, they had some sort of very contact-like experience, including Nordic aliens and Valiant Thor and all this sort of stuff. So it's kind of like taking a step back into the 1950s or 1960s when they were on. 10 years ago, I might have went, blah, this is all crazy. You know, now I sort of say, well, I don't think you saw Thor and Odin, but maybe you did have some sort of experience that presented itself to you that way. And so their stories were interesting. They seemed sincere. And at the very least, you know, they got a good listening from the audience. But yeah, it was a good weekend all the way around. And to prove that there is no laughter curtain with UFOs, there were two politicians there. Me, I guess I'm still a politician, even though I didn't win, but I'm still involved. And the local member of the Legislative Assembly, which would be like a state representative, a guy named Chris Donchma, a good fella, he showed up too. So, you know, nobody, I don't know about the United States, but nobody up here in Canada is afraid of the big bad wolf that is UFOs or the paranormal or ghosts or anything like that. We're all pretty cool with it because we all find it pretty interesting.
That's always interesting here because I know there are people out there who are afraid to talk about UFOs and somehow they're afraid it will affect their career. But early on, I was a traditional broadcast newscaster back in the 70s. And I was doing the UFO psychic ghosts thing. I had a magazine and everything, and they never bothered me. They never mentioned it to me. Wasn't on their radar. As long as I cover the news and the listeners are happy and I'm happy and he's happy, it didn't matter. I got paid.
It would be different if you walked up, I think, and said, I've been abducted 20 times by space aliens from Zeta Reticuli. People might look at you a little differently then. But if you just have an interest in the subject, whether from a historical point of view or a cultural or sociological point of view or even a scientific point of view, that's fine. I've never run into anybody in my day-to-day life that has made fun of me or gone, you're crazy, or this somehow disqualifies you from being a television producer or a politician or a historian or a lawyer or whatever else it is that I do. So I remember Uncle Stan, you know, for many years would say there's a laughter curtain about UFOs. And maybe there is to a point when you're talking about personal experiences. But I just don't think so, especially if you're somebody who's studying the subject or the people involved in the subject. I don't see where there's any sort of thing that you should be afraid of, at least not in my experience. I've never had a problem at all, and I've never met anybody who's had a problem. And that includes guys like Nick Redfern and Greg Bishop and Mac Tonies and Aaron Gullius, who writes about this sort of stuff, and my group of friends, Micah Hanks, who you had on last week. I mean, we all go about our business, and we never seem to have a problem with it. So I don't know where the laughter curtain is. Anyway, that would be my message. Don't be afraid of talking about UFOs or having an interest in them or anything to do with the paranormal, as evidenced by the fact that there were a lot of people at this conference this past weekend for Shag Harbor. In fact, everybody that was there, just normal people who were interested in the story, who were looking for some answers about what might have happened here in Nova Scotia 50 years ago for a case that is still unsolved.
You know, it's interesting. I do, of course, as our listeners know, another radio show called The Tech Night Owl Live. That was my first radio show, my first internet radio show before we got on the GCN network. And when the PowerCast was added, I would promote and cross-promote both shows. At the end of The Tech Night Owl Live, I say we have another radio show about UFOs and things that go bump in the night, and I stop with the bump. And no one complains. In fact, a number of listeners say, hey, that's cool. I should listen to that. And they go on with their business, and they go on with their life. And let me just hit you with one more thing. I don't know if Chris saw this. Of course, we have the PowerCast Plus, and a lot of listeners like it, and we'd love more listeners to join us, but occasionally people will give it up. And usually it's going to be, you know, there's only so many things I can afford, and one more bill I can't handle. And I say, that's cool. When you're ready, you're welcome back. Another one, and this gets to this discussion as we lead to our main topic of the evening. He writes back, you know what? I really like UFOs and all that, but nothing's happening. You know, I hear all the things that you're talking about, and I want to see scientists take it over and do something with it, but nothing has happened all these decades. I'm getting sick and tired of it already. It's the same old thing. Even if we come back and say, as you and I and others have mentioned, that some of the old classic cases don't hold up anymore, that's not leading towards a solution. People want solutions. And this particular case, he said, I had enough for now. So what can you do with something like that? You can't do anything. That's a person's personal taste.
Do more episodes about tricksters and ghosts and hauntings and shapeshifters. Because honestly, I've find that stuff more interesting. And he's right. You know, I was on a radio show here in Halifax last week that I've been on many times before, both as a politician but also a filmmaker, often talking about the paranormal. And the host, who's a friend of mine, gave me a bit of a rough ride, which is perfectly fair, talk radio. And he said, look, why aren't there any good UFO photos today? And there should be. Everybody has a cell phone. And I kind of sort of said, well, look, I can give you one of two answers. One answer is there's nothing to take a picture of for whatever reason. Maybe like Carl Flock said, they were here. They took a few samples. They buzzed around the planet and they took off, which would make sense. It follows our own pattern, the European pattern of exploration, where ships would go out, visit an island in the Pacific or somewhere in South America, and then you might never see the Europeans for 20 or 30 years. So, you know, they might be following our pattern. It's a big galaxy. The other thing is, and I tried to be kind to those people who still think space aliens are visiting here. I said, look, the other possibility is that they don't want to be seen. And he said, well, that's a bit of a dodge, isn't it? And I went, yeah, it is actually. But try this one on for size. If you're looking at your cell phone, which so many people seem to be doing these days, you're not looking up at the sky.
We can get into a big thing about that. Just that particular topic. Paul Kimball joining us this week. with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
If you're an unincorporated business owner, it's too late for you. That is, if you've already been sued and lost your home, your car, and your personal life savings. But if you haven't been sued yet, there is still time to incorporate and protect your personal assets. And the first step is just a phone call away. Because Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation toolkit to all business owners, including exclusive information on how to start and grow your business. For your free incorporation toolkit, call now, 1-800-936-9256. Incorporation is the shield that protects your personal assets. Without it, you could lose everything. That's why at Incorporate.com, they just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. They don't provide legal or financial advice. If someone sues tomorrow, will you lose everything? Don't wait until it's too late. Call now for your free incorporation toolkit. Hurry, they're still giving them away for free at 1-800-936-9256. Call 1-800-936-9256. That's 1-800-936-9256.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have Paul Kimball. We're going to move to ghosts and other things, so just stand by with us. Now, the thing about the cell phone deal, now this is something here where it's an entire cultural thing, as Paul and Chris know, where people walk down the street. Even worse, they cross the street. Now, when I was a kid, what did my teachers show me when I was in elementary school? look both ways before you cross. Now what happens is people look down at their cell phone. And if you're the driver, you better watch out because you might hit some of these people because they're not paying attention. So if you wonder why maybe people don't capture something in the sky, if there was anything in the sky to capture, it's because their heads are not in the sand. Their heads are looking at their iPhones or their Samsungs or their Pixels. But how do you change that culture? You can't.
Well, why would you want to? I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody wants to set up a camera array and point, you'd have a much better luck. First of all, most of the people that my friend, the radio host, was talking about live in cities. More and more people are living in urban areas. Good luck looking up the sky and trying to, with the light that's coming from the cities or the towns, but also all the things that are flying over, to distinguish anything that might be truly anomalous. So first step, go out into the middle of nowhere, like Shag Harbor, where you can take a look up and see the crystal clear night sky. And then if you want to sit out there and do a sky watch, who knows, maybe you'll see something. At that point, if you have a good camera, and I would suggest something better than a cell phone, which you're holding in your hand, a really good camera, then you might actually pick something up. So that's not to say it doesn't happen or it couldn't happen. It's just to say that it isn't happening. And to be perfectly honest, and I'm sure this will annoy some listeners on your forum, and I sort of apologize for that. I don't mean to annoy them. But there haven't been any really, really good cases in a really, really long time. And so getting back to that thing you asked me about the last time I was on After the Paracast, that top 10 film list, even when I did it in 2007, of the cases that were picked, the most recent one was a case in Canada, the Yukon case, which I think was 1996. And that was the only one that was – Rendlesham was 1980, fair enough. After that, it was Rendlesham. The rest of them were all in the 60s and the 50s and one, I think, in the 70s or two in the 70s. But there were no cases in the previous sort of 10 years. And if I was to do that kind of survey now, I'd get the same answer. The best cases, people would tell you, happened in the 50s and 60s, maybe the 70s. And that might be an indication that there's nothing going on, that maybe Carl was right. If there are space aliens, they came, they took a look around, and they've gone. And maybe someday they'll come back. But there doesn't seem to be an indication that they're here, at least in terms of good, solid UFO cases and sightings. Now, if you believe the abduction sort of phenomenon is true, well, that's a whole different kettle of fish, but I don't cotton to that. So, you know, unless you want to go down that rabbit hole, there doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence indicating that recently, at least, there have been space aliens buzzing about the planet Earth.
And the thing about abductions, without going into detail, is I find fascinating this theory that a number of people have voiced. Red Pill Junkie described it on the Paracast on a couple of occasions and wrote one of our newsletters. And that is that there is a remarkable resemblance between near-death experiences and UFO abductions. And you can't assume that near-death experiences are the result of meeting up ET, the result of possibly your heart stopping. So if you're seeing something vaguely similar, and if there are resemblances, it's telling me that abductions are not what some people say on the surface, interactions with ET. Something else is going on, and that same something is causing different people to see it different ways depending on their circumstances.
Look, I think Chris, to some extent, I don't agree with everything Chris has written, nor would I expect him to agree with everything I would say. But the concept of the trickster, and I might call it something different, although on Haunted, there's my segue. Look at that. That's awesome. That's great radio.
You have something called Haunted? Pray tell.
I do. I have a television series called Haunted, and on Haunted, in the very first episode, where we're reintroducing Holly and I to the audience after 9 years of not being on television, I sort of sit down and I talk about, because a lot of stuff was happening to us in that episode, and a lot of it was different stuff. So different things were happening to different people in the same building at different places. Very weird stuff, what Jacques Vallée would call high strangeness. And I said, look, Holly, what if, and I'm going to do the shorthand version here, we're dealing with a trickster, something, some non-human intelligence, don't care where it's from, could be from Zeta Reticuli, could be God, could be a demon, who knows, could be, I don't know. But it's playing with us, as Mac would have said, in the way that we play with cats with laser pointers and that sort of stuff. her first question had been, well, why do you think they'd be doing this? And then I used the cat analogy. And I don't think she really liked that, the idea that something might be playing with us. But, you know, you can find many reasons why it might be interacting with us, whatever it is. But it does seem, looking back on my time with Ghost Cases 9 years ago, but also the 13 episodes that Holly and I shot this spring and summer, in both cases, very much it seemed to be sort of a tricksterish kind of phenomenon that was taking place. And, you know, we can talk about that and the various theories about what hauntings might be. I do not subscribe to the idea that it's the ghost of your deceased aunt Myrtle or something like that. I know a lot of people who do, but I don't. I think we're dealing with something much more interesting. As somebody who's 50 now, closer to dead than alive, you know, although I hope I have many years to go, but I would hope that if there's an afterlife, it's more interesting than hanging out in fill in the blank of the buildings I've been in, you know, haunting the people that live or work or visit there. So I'd like to think there's something more to the afterlife than just that kind of mundane post-human existence, if you will.
Well, certainly for someone like Tom Petty, I would hope that whatever happens now that he's left us, that he's doing something fascinating wherever he is. Or I have this other theory about life after death as we segue here to haunted and everything, that the individual who died doesn't know it. He just passes to something else and doesn't realize that in another reality or another place he is dead. He's going on about his business, and I don't know whether it's the same business or a different kind of business, and he doesn't have that memory.
Yeah, the truth is, until the moment comes when we are no more, none of us are ever going to know. And I actually said that at the Shag Harper Festival. I said, none of us is really ever going to know what any of this stuff is. And there was a lady in the back, and she went, boo, I know. And I went, well, that's cool, ma'am. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everybody else here doesn't. So, you know, if you think you know, and I respect that, that's fine. But if you're an objective observer outside, it's like when people on the forums or anywhere else say, or the James Fox film, I know what I saw. No, you don't. You know, that's the dumbest title ever in terms of being able to interpret what it might have been. You don't know what you saw any more than I do. You saw something and you can describe what you saw. So I guess in that sense, I know what I saw is true. But in terms of actually coming up with an answer of what it is, dumbest title ever.
Well, you know what? I think we'll ask James about that, but probably it's a marketing thing. You know?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Oh, you know, titles are things that sell the movie, and therefore, you know, Snakes on a Plane. Well, we know what that's about. In fact, the title alone was enough to influence Samuel L. Jackson to be in it. Yeah, I can't use the words. With Paul Kimball, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today. The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Chris O'Brien, since you are the trickster person, the trickster expert amongst our little crew.
I don't know about
here,
that.
Okay, so the case here is, do you think, in terms of the resemblance between UFO abductions and near-death experiences, there's some trickster thingy stuff going on?
The term trickster, I think, has been coined, obviously, before I came along, as a way to try to describe something that's very, very difficult to, number one, lock down a definition, and number two, come up with a term that isn't loaded with lots of innuendo or front-loading or that sort of thing, people's preconceived notions. And so trickster is a convenient term. I look at it more as a connective mechanism that seems to tie what appears to be on the surface, sort of divergent phenomenal events or categories of phenomena. It kind of ties them together. I think hauntings, UFOs, many cryptid sightings have this kind of giggle factor that's present in almost all the time. And you don't hear about it as much because I think witnesses tend to shy away from any sort of detail that might cast some sort of doubt about their sanity, about their powers of observation. You know, it's that whole kind of inexplicability that permeates all these things. So you get short shrift. You don't really get those details very often in sighting events. I've often said on the show when talking about this that back in the San Luis Valley in the 90s when I was doing all this investigative work, invariably somebody would report something and then maybe weeks or months or even a year or two or three later, they would then add a detail that they had decided not to divulge in the initial report. And it was only after they became comfortable with you know, the relationship with me or trusted me or felt secure enough to actually say, you know, remember when I had that, you know, such and such happen to me? I didn't tell you at the time, but and then boom, out comes this little perplexing detail that, you know, if I had heard it initially, I probably would have, like they were worried, I probably would have questioned their sanity. So I really feel it's a very under, I don't know, it's an area that's just, it's under the radar. You don't have very many people that are really that concerned with trying to, you know, shine the light on these peculiar details that are tricksterish in nature. I think people shy away from them because they want the legitimacy and the respect of people that are following their work or the witnesses want to be believed, and they don't want to come up with a detail that would, you know, throw the whole thing into question. So it's self-nullifying, which is part of the definition of the trickster, you know, in a classical sort of definitive sense. So I'm not really sure if that helps any, but I've always found that this is an area that really has not gotten the quality attention that I think it deserves.
Look, let me run this one by you. Case that Chris Stiles discovered in Nova Scotia in 1976, which is probably my favorite UFO case. It's not really well known anywhere. I've written about it. Chris has written about it, you know, on my blog or whatever. But we both talked about it at the Shag Harbor UFO Festival. Kirk, I don't know how much time is left in this segment, but quick lowdown. So there's a family. They're in a house in Lower Sackville, which is a bedroom community outside of Halifax. 1976, they call the RCMP and they say, look, there's a UFO above our house. The RCMP officer, A, having nothing better to do that night, but also generally the RCMP will investigate calls like that, drives out to the house, walks out of his car, goes up, stands on the back patio for 2 hours and watches this UFO with them. And it's, you know, lights in the sky. He calls all of the airports and military and civilian. And there's a report. The RCMP, you know, they always write reports about these things. I know. I used to work with them. And so this Chris found this report. And here he is. He describes everything. And he says, look, I sat there for 2 hours. You know, the thing moved, but there was no sound. No sound at all. And none of the airports had it on radar, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Wasn't an astronomical phenomenon, wasn't a planet, ruled all that stuff out. Said, you know, well, what is it? Well, shrug your shoulders and go, I don't know. So he goes next door, and the neighbors do not get along with the people that he made the UFO report. And Chris sort of followed up with the neighbors years later because he found their name in the police report. And so the neighbors, and I'm kind of giving this a real short shrift, say, hey, no, we didn't see any UFO. We were too busy hiding under our bed. Why were you hiding under our bed, your bed? Because there was this sound like a train was being driven through our house, scared the bejesus out of us, and, you know, we were really frightened for our lives, and it shook everything and all that sort of stuff. So here are two families living next to each other. They don't like each other. One was a naval architect. I can't remember what the husband for the other family was, but these were educated people too, not crazy or anything like that, living in suburban Nova Scotia. They, at the same time, report different incidents, but the same incident, if you know what I mean. They observe or hear something, they experience something in completely different ways yeah. that seem to nullify what the other people, like, we didn't see anything, but we heard something. The other folks say, we didn't hear anything, but we saw something. And the folks that were hiding under their bed, as soon as the police officer knocked on the door, the sound stopped. Well, what do you do with a case like that? That is the epitome of a high strangeness Jacques Vallée case. So yeah. Chris told that story at Shag Harbor, and he beat me to it because he had the first speaking slot, and I was on 2 days later. And I said, look, when I'm going, I was talking about various theories that are not space aliens. But it's not to say that I discount space aliens. I just said everyone else has been talking about that this weekend, so you guys have got that. I'm going to give you all the other ideas. But I said, what do you do with this? This is the kind of UFO case that does still interest me because it resembles, in many respects, ghost cases or hauntings and that kind of stuff, because it's really weird. And honestly, I think anything along these lines should be really weird. It just by its very nature, it stands to reason. We're dealing with something that is not human, if that's the case, wherever it's from. Then it shouldn't be presenting itself to us like it's out of a sitcom from the 1950s. There should be an element of weirdness, and ufology or ghost hunters or Bigfoot hunters or whatever shouldn't be afraid to embrace that weirdness, which is the lesson I've learned over the last 15 years as I've slowly come myself to embrace the weirdness and say, in the famous words of Steve Winwood, I'm going to roll with it, baby.
You know, an interesting thing here, Paul, and that is our interpretation of it. And so you could wonder here, does whatever forces involved control what you see, or are you participating and altering it to whatever you expect to see or have some innate desire to see?
Yes. I just, sure. All of that is potentially true. The interesting thing is, for me, to anyone who's listening, if you're still listening, if I sounded a little down for the first 20 minutes of the show, when the UFO stuff comes up, I kind of blah. But you know what? UFOs are still cool. Once I start talking about the weird stuff, like the Lower Sackville case, then it all becomes interrelated to me, which is not somewhere I would have thought I'd be 15 or 20 years ago when I first started making films about it and talking to people and researching it. I was very by the book, you know, nuts and bolts kind of thing. And now I've come to embrace more the stories of, say, the contactees, whatever they mean, experiencers, as they call it, because I'm an experiencer. You know, when you go ghost hunting, in quotation marks, or investigating, I call it like you're at a multiplex. You can't see a movie unless you buy a ticket. And if we all walk into the multiplex, but we want to see different movies, you might see the new Star Wars movie, Chris. I might see a new Woody Allen movie. And Gene might see, you know, something, My Little Pony 2, whatever. You know, we're all going to see different things. We're going to experience a different story. But we're all in the same place at the same time. And we're experiencing different things. To me, that's what the paranormal is. The UFO phenomenon, the ghost thing, all of that. The cases that really interest me, like the Lower Sackville case, are the ones where people are seeing different movies, even though they're in the exact same theater at the exact same time. And they wouldn't be seeing anything if they didn't buy a ticket. So you kind of have to, I think, open yourself up to it too, which is what I've done by walking into these allegedly haunted houses or putting myself out there. I just embrace it now. And so does Holly.
We've got more to come with Paul Kimball, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now let's kind of bring us up to date here about Haunted. And it started, as you say, 9 years ago. I remember you and Holly Stevens appeared on the Paracast. We talked about it. And I think at that time, in terms of being a ghost hunter, you were a neophyte. And so is she. Mm-hmm. And you're entering this. And I want to bring people up to date, because I welcome you to listen to the radio show 9 years ago. We're talking about 2008. But love you to do that. But we also want to bring everybody up to date pretty quickly here. So let's talk about this, Paul. How did you and Holly get involved? Was it that they were producing a show and you were hired for it? Or did you seek it out?
No, I needed a job. So I'd finished doing a feature film that, you know, nobody will ever see because it was terrible. And somebody here in Halifax had an idea for a ghost show. He had already pitched the network. The network said, sure, but you're not an experienced producer, nor are you an experienced director. Go find somebody who is to kind of work with you, and we'll be cool. So I knew him. We had met. We'd never worked together, but he approached me with it, and he said, look, you're the only guy I know has an interest in the paranormal here in Halifax. Would you be interested? And I said, does it pay? And he said, yes, it does. And I said, sure, I'll be looking for a job. Absolutely. Plus, you know, I also thought it would be really interesting. You know, I won't do something just for the money. So anyway, that was it. I was going to direct and produce it, but I certainly wasn't going to host it. We had four real ghost investigators. I mean, what the heck is a real ghost investigator? Four people who had been doing this kind of thing, you know, going out for a couple of years. So there you go. They're real ghost investigators. Nice people, dull as wood, and they just didn't understand it's television. So you can't sit in a room with a tape recorder and talk to a ghost and go, listen, if you're here, reach out, talk to me, say something, and then be quiet for 8 minutes and nothing happens. So as we shot the pilot, I was just banging my head against the wall, and I tried to get them. I said, look, you know, do something, interact. You know, it is television. You have to understand it's television. That doesn't mean you have to fake anything. In fact, don't fake anything. And I was also thinking, too, like, if there's any ghosts here, they're not going to talk to you guys. You're boring. Like, I wouldn't want to talk to you. You're nice people, but you're boring. So I just remember walking out. It was a cold November night. The other producer, Dale Stevens, and I walked out, and I said, look, we got to fire them. they've got to go, or else this is going to be the dullest television show in the history of dull television shows.
And that's a big stretch because there've been a lot of dull television shows.
Yeah, no, they were just terrible. Nice people, I can't stress that enough. And they took the ghost thing very seriously. Dale, I remember he says, we're walking around because they were in communing with the spirits and nothing was happening. We just let the camera run and we took a 40-minute walk and nothing changed. So, he said, well, who do you think should host it? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, you should host it. You're smarmy and, you're telegenic, I guess, and you're outspoken and you're good on camera. You don't have a problem. I said, fine, but I won't do it alone. I don't want to host a television show alone. I need a partner. And he said, fine. And I said, I'd like a good-looking partner who's a woman, because that adds, A, good-looking person to the cast. It is television. B, kind of the moonlighting Cybill Shepherd Bruce Willis or the Fox Mulder Dana Scully, that kind of dynamic that exists. And he said, well, do you know anyone? And I said, sure, Holly Stevens, who I'd known for about a year, and she worked with me on a couple of projects, and she had a science degree. So I said, look, she can be the Dana Scully, and I'll be the Fox Mulder, because I have the paranormal background, and she has a science degree. That's as close as we could get. So Dale said, yeah, absolutely. And I said, she's comfortable in front of the camera. She's engaging. She's witty. She's charming. She's super smart. These are all good things. I asked Holly, and she said, sure, I don't have a gig, and it sounds interesting. And I'm getting paid, right? We said, yeah. So that's basically how it happened. And we never set out to be ghost investigators. We weren't people that said, this drives us. This has driven us since the beginning of since we were born. It's in our soul. We did it because it was a gig, but it also sounded fun and interesting. And it was until it still is, but fun and interesting eventually morphed into fun and interesting and scary and mind-blowing and challenging. And that's kind of where we left it 9 years ago when we finished the one season that we did. And we decided, for a whole host of reasons, some business-related, some personal-related, and I don't mean personal to Holly or I, but, generally speaking, we just had enough. It had been a really draining experience. It had been frightening in many respects. And I think both of us said, this is fun, but we don't want to do this again. So we didn't. And Holly moved to British Columbia, and I stayed here in Halifax, and, we went on with our lives. But, all things circle back. And last year, I had an opportunity to pitch the network about a television show, and the one I pitched him was Haunted. I could have pitched him on anything. But I said, you know what? I want to go back to the ghost thing. I'm ready. I'm good with that. And I want Holly to come do it, too. So we flew her out from Vancouver. She moved back here with her boyfriend, and she and I are back on the ghost investigating beat again, and it's even weirder this time than it was last time.
All right, I want to get into that, because there's a perception when it comes to reality TV shows that everything is telegraphed and that sometimes they stretch a few facts. And we know of examples where they've done that. Or they might take someone they interview and he's talking about the Mysterious Valley, and suddenly it ends up that the event happened in Sedona. I know there are some people like that who had that experience, Chris. And so we don't want that kind of thing. We want entertainment, but we want something that's factually based. How do you meet these two extremes to be entertaining and stick to the facts?
Pretty simple. Take the subject matter seriously, but never take yourself seriously. And I don't. I don't take myself seriously, and I don't think Holly does, really. I actually kind of like the show, Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagans. But, anybody who thinks that Zach Bagans is, a real demonologist or whatever, whatever that is, or takes that show terribly seriously, should have their head examined. And I run into, professional ghost hunters who sometimes are not big fans of Holly and I, and they say, you're not professional ghost hunters. And I go, no. But you don't have to be. The whole point of haunted houses and hauntings and ghost stories is anybody can go out there and buy the ticket to that movie theater I'm talking about. The difference is with television, if you're going to put people on television, they kind of have to be interesting people too. Now, I don't know if I'm an interesting person, but I know Holly is. And, I can play one on television. So do we ever fake anything? No. I'm adamant about that. If nothing else, my years of skepticism and criticizing everybody and their dog for faking stuff or, being woo-woo or whatever has bought me the credibility. I've earned the right to say, yeah, take my word for it. I'm not faking this. If I say this happened, it happened. If I say I was genuinely scared, it took me a while to get to a place where I was willing to admit that kind of stuff. but there is a balance because, you know, you can't show us sitting. Ghost investigating is dull sometimes. You'll sit around for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, and nothing happens. There's locations we go to we don't use. Not many, actually only one this time. But with ghost cases, there were two or three where nothing happened. Okay, so I'm not going to put that on television. You're going to see the places where something happened, because something doesn't always happen. We never make it. Well, okay, that's not true. We do sometimes make it happen, I think, because we start trying to interact with whatever's out there. And if there's something out there, it says, okay, you guys are jerks. We're going to give you your comeuppance, or you guys are, we like you. In Holly's case, we'd like to communicate with you. You know, we get evidence. And I think we have real evidence this time, which we can talk about as we go along tonight. And Greg Bishop has heard it. Like, I played it for Greg, and he just went, okay, I'm not a ghost guy, but I can't explain that. Like, I don't know what that is. And, you know, you tie it in with what was happening to Holly at the same time. And more of this stuff piling up for us. And that's the kind of stuff that makes my skeptical side go, yeah, okay, my skepticism is being whittled away here because things are happening. I'm experiencing stuff. Holly's experiencing stuff. And in some cases, we're actually recording it on camera or on audio or wherever. And so, yeah, that's what people are going to see on television. They're not going to see the other 8 hours where we're sitting there and nothing happens. That's just not going to happen. So that's the balance you have to strike between doing a reality television show and trying to be real, while at the same time you have to be entertaining too.
That's true actually about real news as opposed to reality show news, and that is you're not going to see the stuff they've covered all day where nothing happens or they're preparing for something. You're only going to see the press conference, and maybe not the complete press conference, the press conference where the subject of the press conference says something provocative. There's going to be picking and choosing, and the news is going to concentrate on the core events that will be interesting to readers, listeners, or viewers. It's not going to be everything else that's dull and ordinary, because it's news. And news has to be something different, has to be something exceptional. So what Paul is saying is something very akin to real journalism. And before we split for a little bit of business, let me bring you up to date on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, because Paul Kimball will be back, and he's got some real provocative things to say. Paul Kimball, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.